Boom. All right, Tyne, welcome to the stage. So, Tyne, if you could just tell us, what were you doing? A little bit of your testimony. What were you doing before you really had a deep relationship with Jesus?
Okay, well, I wasn't necessarily the most upstanding citizen before I knew Jesus. I was raised in a Christian family, so it's not that I didn't know who Jesus was, but I just relied on my parents' passed down faith rather than building that relationship myself. So when I was really young, 12 or 13, I just glamorized people who were drunk. I thought it looked so fun. I thought drinking looked so fun. I just thought that I wanted to be cool. I wanted to fit in, and that's what I wanted to do. So for the first time at that age, I ended up stealing some alcohol and getting drunk for the first time. And that was almost some foreshadowing to how my teen years and early adult years kind of went for me. So things really started to snowball when I was about 15. I prioritized drinking and smoking pot over everything in my life, over my family, my friends, everything. And I had a bunch of friends who actually exiled me from their friend group, and I thought that they were just mean girls. I thought that they just didn't understand, that they were rude or something, and I thought my parents were abnormally strict. I just thought that they, for wanting something different for me, I thought that they were crazy. And so at 15, I left home for the first time and moved into one of my friend's house, who their parents weren't around at all, and I started drinking almost every day, and I started using hard drugs at that time as well. And it stayed my reality for the next long time. I almost didn't graduate. I became chemically dependent on drugs and alcohol. I struggled with self-harm and eating disorder and multiple hospital visits. And finally, I ended up going to rehab when I was 18, in January of 2018. And I slightly got reintroduced to God, but it was a very watered-down version of God, and there was no dedication on my part of that. So shortly after that, I continued my previous lifestyle, and I ended up moving to BC to stay away from my family and their concerns and everything, and just kind of hide what I was and what I was doing.
Yeah, totally. Thanks for initially that quick testimony. But then there was a shift, right? So the moment where you go, okay, I'm gonna go to rehab. You had this experience with God prior to some extent, but then all of a sudden, there was a point where all of a sudden you said, Jesus is making a difference. So how did you begin to see Jesus making that difference in your life?
Well, so my redemption journey started in BC. I was in a very physically and mentally abusive relationship, and I just really couldn't take my lifestyle anymore. It wasn't sustainable. And I was driving around one Saturday night, and I was just bawling my eyes out, and I really didn't know where to go from there. And I just had a thought, it was unlike anything I had ever thought before, and it was, you need to go to church tomorrow. And my mom had always told me to pray, and my family always told me to go to church, and my mom told me, rely on Jesus, it would get better, but I just never did anything. And that day I was I need to go to church. And my best friend, who was also an addict, she's sober now as well. I attended church with her the next day because she started previously attending. And the sermon that was being preached that day was actually, as well as the gospel, it was on how you can't have a strong relationship with God when you are using substances and under the influence all the time. And so I called my mom after, and I told her about this sermon, and I told her that I wanted to make a change and that everything in my life was crumbling. And the church that I ended up going to that day was actually a church that somebody she does Bible study with had recommended that I go to years before. They continued to recommend it, and somebody who had been praying for me. And so just all of that together, it was pretty undeniable that that was God. The fact that I went to church and they were talking about substance abuse issues, and that I didn't ask my mom before, and I ended up going to that same church. It was pretty crazy. So right after that, I ended up moving in with my AA sponsor in Nanaimo, and I started volunteering at my first youth group there, and things just started to get better from then on.
That's awesome. And then, so that was then, and what about now? This has been quite a journey since then, but here today, you are still living for Jesus and you're doing stuff. So where do you see Jesus now using you today in all of that?
So I often see God's work. Well, I volunteer as a youth leader here at ACC every Wednesday night. So I see God's work all the time there. And like through my life experience and stuff, it's not necessarily the normal Christian path I took. So God has really relieved the fear of me sharing the gospel to people. So it's like a huge gift for me. And like, I am super grateful for it. So like throughout my Christian walk, I've gotten to see like some of my closest friends who were non-believers become believers. My AA sponsor now is a strong Christian man. My boyfriend now is a strong Christian man. And like, I'm not saying that any of that, like I didn't do any of that. Like I don't want to take any single credit for that whatsoever, but it's just like really cool to be like a vessel for God and be able to like share those messages and actually see him working like so quickly and so beautifully every day. And I get to, when I see like the youth girls, like God's really given me a heart and a passion and a love for that. Like I love doing youth more than anything. It's my favorite night of the week. And I'm just able to like be there for girls who are the age that I was when I was struggling. And anytime they're struggling with anything really, like bullying, they're upset, they're sad, like mm-hmm. I can just be there for them and I can share like what God did for me and show them that there is hope and there is a light. That because when I was that age, me and my mom were talking about it the other day and we were reminiscing, and when I was that age, I would tell her all the time that I didn't believe happiness was in my story. Like I thought that happiness was real and people were happy and like people had joy, but I didn't believe that it was for me. And apparently, I don't remember saying that very often, but my mom shared that, like, I used to say that to her all the time. So now just being able to share that experience with girls who are the same age that I was when I was struggling is just really good. And I'm also in college right now, and I've gotten the opportunity to write many papers on Jesus and share the gospel like in class with my classes and stuff. And I just think that's pretty awesome as well, because that's not something I would have done before, but I just like pray all the time that something hits, because I just want everybody to have a relationship and love Jesus as much as I do.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Tyne. That's awesome. Thanks. Just take it back. Thanks, Tyne, for sharing that, but to me, that highlights exactly a point of what I'm trying to say. There was something that was debilitating. I would say Tyne was powerless too. And then she turns to Jesus, and then Jesus gives her the power to overcome what she prior was not able to do. And then what you see is then God then grabs the more of her heart and then says, okay, now I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you in powerful ways. And those are things that come from the power of the Spirit. Like she said, she's going, I'm not trying to take credit here. She's like, I can genuinely say it's Jesus. And I've witnessed that. I've witnessed those things. I see Tyne hanging out with the youth. Sometimes youth leaders come and they hang out with other youth leaders. But Tyne hangs out with the kids. And she's genuinely sharing the love of Jesus with them. But there's a mark of the power of Holy Spirit working and making us more righteous and then using us. So thanks for that, Tyne. Appreciate that. But then this is the part where I know it can get uncomfortable, is when we talk about the literal power that Holy Spirit pours out over their believers, the gifts of the Spirit. This can make us uncomfortable sometimes because in the past we've seen how this has been abused. You know, you picture some preacher on the television knocking down chairs and the chairs flying back up with a lightsaber. You're like, what is that? If you don't know what I'm referencing, you're not a millennial. but that's potentially what you think about when you think of Holy Spirit. And what I would tell you is, one of the main rebukes Jesus had for people was their lack of faith. You of little faith. You of little faith. And I hear it so many times. I hear it. I just don't believe God works like that today. If God did work like that, why don't I see the evidence of that? And sometimes we'll lower our theology, our thought of who God is and how he actually acts in this world and what he's even capable of doing in my life. I'll lower it to my current
standards of what I see or my expectations of what are happening around me versus me raising my bar to what the scripture says. That the Spirit was poured out on all the believers. And you see it twice because it falls again in Acts 4. Holy Spirit falls a third time on John and Peter who were there at the first time in Acts 2. So you see this more than once where Holy Spirit comes and falls. And one of my most favorite things about the power of Jesus and why we need it is it's a separator. The people couldn't deny what John and Peter were doing, the disciples, the believers were doing, because there was miraculous things happening around them. They wanted to deny Jesus, but then they looked and they saw what they were doing and says, we can't say nothing. The guy's walking. The blind guy can see. They didn't have words to fight with. And this is what I would tell you. There is no amount of words that can outweigh the power of God. And God made it that way. Here's what Paul had to say about it. He said in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Spurgeon put it like this: let eloquence be flung to the dogs rather than souls be lost. What we want is to win souls. They are not won by flowery speeches. I hope that none of our words are ever too eloquent that they ever potentially replace the only place of true power, and that's the Holy Spirit, who he wants to pour out over us more so that we could be greater used in this town for his kingdom. But the question begins to go, what's my faith at in that? What's my willingness of commitment to begin to pray like the disciples did? That's one of the opening questions that I think we ought to be praying. And this is where it leads to. So you see that they've been moved from cowards to bold, from ordinary to great, from weak to strong. And the final one I see is this, is that they looked like Jesus. They had the heart of Jesus. Because people were able to look at them and go, take note that these guys have been with Jesus. Take note, they had been with Jesus. And then what you see is that they were doing the same things that Jesus had been seen doing. And what was it exactly that they were doing? They were pushing back the darkness. God saw such a problem in the world. God saw the real effect of sin on humanity that Jesus said, I will come myself and deal with the darkness. I will wipe it clean in regards to dying on the cross so that anybody who calls on the name of Jesus, they will be saved. God starts with making this mark like this, to come and fight the darkness. And then God looks at the church and says, you are the light of the world. Where in the world will the world find hope? Is it in getting a conservative government? Is it in better politics? Is it in better city-run programs? Is it in having the perfect sociology and psychology set for our society? Jesus would tell you no. He would tell you no. He would tell you the hope of the world will come through my bride, which is the church, and I will mark them with my Spirit so that they will go and they will impact the world. Brother Andrew knew when he would take the Bibles out into the world, he knew he was risking people's lives. He knew it, but he knew why he was doing it, because it was the heart of Jesus to bring hope to where there is no hope. And guys, I got to tell you, our world is pretty hopeless. But we are not people without hope. We are not people without hope. We have been marked with Christ. But Jesus looks at us and says, who will stand? Here's what John Wesley said. I'm paraphrasing a slight amount. He says, give me 100 men and women who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I don't care whether they're clergymen or laymen. They alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven upon earth. That is a profound word. And I look in this room and I see more than 100 people More than 100. And here's why this shakes my core a bit right now, is in our town, a terrible evil happened. Two little girls, lives lost because of evil that exists in our world. Now, you go, what? How does that relate to us? Who are the ones Jesus is calling to push back the darkness? He's not calling the police. He's not calling Trudeau. He's calling you and me to stand. And not stand on our own. Not to stand. Not to stand as just Michael going to fight somebody. But stand in the power of the Spirit, bringing the hope of Christ to everyone. Because I don't know what the difference it will make, but I do know this. If I don't do anything, the world will be left to the gates of hell. So Jesus pours out this over us. He says, I'll take any coward and I'll make you bold. He says, I'll grab any one of you who call yourself ordinary and I'll make you great. And I will grab anybody who says they're weak. And I will pour my Spirit out upon you so that you will stand and then stand again when the darkness comes. And when people say, why do you do what you do? Why do you do this? Why do you get up? Why do you risk it? Why are you bold? Why do you seem different? You get to look anybody in the face like Tyne does and say, because I've been marked by Jesus. I've been touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. And now my life isn't the same. I can tell you the first time it happened for me, I was never the same. Never. In fact, every time I've ever wanted to walk away or say, God, I'll just do less. God, just let me do less. God brings me back to that day where the Holy Spirit fell on me and I felt the presence of God's love so thick that I didn't know what to do. And I wept. And then he broke my heart. He says, so many don't know this love. Will you go and tell them? And I said, okay. Okay. So who will ask Jesus to be bold? Who will ask for more than being ordinary? Who will ask Christ to pour himself out so that we can be the hope that Jesus made us to be, the same hope that you and I have received in Jesus? If you've looked at Christianity and said, I'm not sure about this thing, and you feel it's just an ordinary, just a God amongst religions, you haven't encountered the Holy Ghost then. You haven't spent enough time with Jesus, because you can't spend time with Jesus and walk away going, he's just like everyone else. You can't. So where do you start? What can we do? What do we do, Michael? Here's what I would tell you. Start with some prayer. The fight we fight is not one. It isn't a fight of the physical, but it's a spiritual. For our war is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the spiritual things of this world. We need to wage war where war needs to be waged. Tomorrow night there's a prayer meeting. Come on out. Pray. Pray for God's move. An outpouring over us in a greater fashion. Put aside potentially some of your theology that potentially hinders. And just say, God, I'm not sure. Come humbly. Let him see what he'll do. Pray. Learn what the heart of Jesus is if you don't know what it is. Don't settle with where you're at. And tell others about Jesus. Tell others about Jesus. I tell you, when you begin to tell others about Jesus, all of a sudden you got skin in the game. This ain't someone else's game anymore. This is my game. I'm in. I've got the jersey on. I'm playing the game. Tell someone and see what Jesus does. But God did not go to such extremes for no reason. He wants to use you and I for great things. To go and bring hope to this world. Jesus wants to give us more of his heart. So let's pray and I'll invite the worship team to come on up. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you desire to use us. Lord, that you're going to pour incredible things out over us, not for our sake, but for your kingdom's sake and for those who are far from you, but also that, Lord, that we get to be the benefactor of intimacy with you. Jesus, would we be the most intriguing people that others meet today because of your spirit that dwells in us? Would people be drawn to our church? And when I say our church, I mean each individual, Lord, because they're marked with your presence, Lord. And I would ask, Jesus, that you would stir in us a heart, Lord, to seek you more, that we wouldn't settle for where we're at with where we're seeing your kingdom invading this earth. Would we say, Jesus, do more? God, what is it you're calling me today? Is there something you're asking me to lay down before you? Is there a way, Lord Jesus, that you're wanting to impact me today? Would you give me the ears to hear? Lord, I pray that you would pour yourself out. I love the prayer of Peter when he says in Acts 4 there, he says, consider the threat. Consider the threat that the enemy poses, Lord. And would you respond, Lord, to the threat that the enemy comes to do to Sylvan Lake? But Lord, you have equipped your church to push back the darkness, to be a beacon of light, to shine for your kingdom. I just thank you, Lord, for each one who's here, Lord Jesus, and would they feel encouraged and stirred to do something. In your name we pray. Amen.